Sportsline, as we continue to cover and look at what happened 30 years ago when the Baltimore Colts left town from Owings Mills, and Keith Mills joins us now. And Millsy, that day, can you put us in that moment?
It was a surreal day. Everyone had heard Bob Irsay for months threaten to move the team, but I don't think anyone really thought he was actually going to do it. And then when he did it, everybody took a step back before the anger and the hostility came out and said, whoa, he really did it. And how he did it, of course, with the vans at night, moving out when everybody was pretty much asleep, was kind of odd. But the next day, when news filtered out that they were gone, and it wasn't, there was not the 24/7 news
cycle. There's no Twitter, there's no internet.
None. And so it was kind of bizarre. I got a call from a news director early in the morning saying, hey, you got to get in here. We're going on the air pronto. Bob Irsay has moved the team out of here. So at the time I was working at Channel 13 as a sports producer, and I basically spent the entire day in the control room with our director, our producer, orchestrating coverage from around the area with Jerry Turner and Al Sanders. Mm. And they were anchoring it. We had Gail Gardner was on staff. George Bauman was a part of it. Richard Scherer was a part of it. We had a great reporting staff. But again, as the day unfolded, emotions changed. It went from shock to disbelief to anger in a relatively short period of time, as word became, it was quite obvious that the Colts were gone, because a lot of people thought, it'll be back. It's really not that desperate. They were gone.
Orioles open up a few days later at Memorial Stadium on 33rd Street. They're the defending champs. What was the mood of that opening
day? It
was
crazy because everybody was really anticipating the season. Defending world champs, coming off the magical run that led to the World Series championship. And suddenly, bam, everybody stopped in their tracks and baseball became secondary. I was in spring training pretty much half the time down in Miami during that period. And I remember John Stedman saying to a bunch of us sitting around, Vince Bagley and a couple other guys sitting around, saying that, I think Irsay might really move the team. I really think he's not bluffing this time. I was like,
I believe it when I see it.
So that was kind of like the mindset, as it was a week before opening day. I think it was a solid week before opening day. So opening day rolls around, and playing the White Sox, and everybody was still numb from the fact that the team was leaving, and the Orioles got their butt kicked. As a matter of fact, they lost 10 of their first 12 games. So not only were the Colts gone, but the Orioles were treading water and sinking, and the Tigers were playing out of their mind. I think they won like 25 of 30 to start the season.
Yep.
So the Orioles were out of it almost in April, and we're dealing with the fact that the Colts were in Indianapolis, man. It was one of the darkest months and 2 or 3 months period I can ever remember in Baltimore sports history.
What's funny about the Orioles playing there, even the Memorial Stadium I grew up going to, there were signs of football even there. And even when I saw the Stallions play there, I never saw the Colts play at Memorial Stadium. Even the Stallions, there were signs of baseball there. It was really a joint custody stadium. So were people reminded about what just happened? Could they enjoy baseball? Was it the talk of the entire spring and summer?
Oh, no question
Every
about it.
Every day people were talking about it. Was it in the news? Was it in the Sun? Was it in all these publications that we were reminded constantly about the Colts leaving
Absolutely.
Town?
The city and the state filed an eminent domain clause against the Ravens before that moment actually happened, before he left. And I think that's one of the reasons why he did leave. But after they did leave, all we heard about was eminent domain, and that was going to be the savior. That was going to be the issue that was going to bring him back. I don't even know if I still understand what that means. But throughout the first month of the baseball season, again, there was anger. There was no rationale at that particular time amongst Baltimore sports fans. None at all. It was Bob Irsay is the Antichrist. He's the devil. He took our heart and soul, the Colts, out of here. And I mean, at that time, Artie Donovan, Johnny Yu, every ex-Colt that was alive were on the airwaves, all day long, all on the talk shows. It was the Orioles weren't secondary, but they were taking a back seat, no question about it. Plus the fact they were really struggling coming out of the gate. So it was an extraordinary time, and you were reminded every time you walked out the door because somebody was talking about it.
Take us through the last 3 years of the Baltimore Colts. what was that franchise like through those last 3 years up until 30 years ago, almost precisely to the day the team leaving?
Yeah, the Colts were not good, obviously, and everyone seemed to trace it back to Bob Irsay. And every time you saw Bob Irsay publicly, he was inebriated. It was you know, the Holy Grail. That moment, of course, was the airport live shot that has been well documented. But you know, the Colts were really not a good team. And then in '83, they drafted John Elway, and everybody's thinking, man, this is good. You know, because this guy can really play. He's going to be the next Johnny Unitas. Johnny, you came out, put a stamp of approval on him, like this guy could be, you know, the next great quarterback. And then as quickly as the town got excited, they traded him away, and he came into Baltimore in early 83, and they booed him off the field, and the Colts won one of the few games they did that year.
Were they a laughing stock? Can you compare them to a franchise out there right now in any sport?
Well, they became a laughing stock in retrospect because of Bob Irsay, because he was this caricature of a human being at that particular time. He was almost like a cartoon figure. I mean, everybody made fun of Bob Irsay.
He was getting ripped along the way before the move to Indianapolis.
Oh, absolutely. He had a hate-hate relationship with the media. The fans were starting to turn on him. The players didn't like him. You know, we've talked to Stan White, Bruce Laird, many times about, hey, he went on the bus and tried to fire Ted Marchibroda after a preseason loss. And his behavior made the Colts one of the real embarrassments in professional sports at that particular time. It transcended to the field, and really they never got better up until the day they left.
I can speak very closely to the 11 years without a team. From your vantage point, and you're really in the thick of it at this point media-wise, were there nights you were certain there would not be NFL football back here in Baltimore?
Oh, absolutely. I thought we were not going to get a team back the night when Jacksonville was awarded the team, and there's that famous shot of William Donald Schaefer sitting on a chair in the room after the decision with a tear coming down his eye. And I thought at that particular moment, it wasn't going to happen. The famous Paul Tagliabue Museum quote, I didn't think there was any way. I didn't think the league wanted it. I didn't think Jack Kent Cook wanted it down in D.C. I thought he was leading the revolt against Baltimore. And I thought at that particular time, all Baltimore was a pawn for all these other owners to get a better stadium deal.
Everybody.
You name it. I mean, they came through here left and right like a stampede. So I didn't think it was going to happen at all.
One last question on that. And I remember playing out pretty well, give Baltimore the ball, expansion campaigns, trying to get a team to move here. Did it become a big deal throughout the rest of the 80s, early 90s, every time there was a glimmer of hope? Was that always the talk of the town, preseason football, Memorial Stadium, everything like that?
Yeah, I remember when Bill Bidwell came here, he was one of the first guys to do it, and there was a whole lot of excitement. Man, the Cardinals are coming to Baltimore. It's going to happen. Well, it didn't happen. He got a new stadium deal. Then you had in the early 90s, you had that exhibition game that the city had the night they gave John Mackey his Hall of Fame ring. The Dolphins played the Saints, an incredible show of passion and support. All that did again
for an exhibition game.
For an exhibition game, sellout crowd. All it did was tease the fans again to the point where, through in the mid '90s, that Charlotte decision, the Jacksonville decision. I think the fans at that time were numb, and they basically took a step back and said, you know what, we don't even want the NFL back. You know, we'll bring a Canadian Football League team in here.
We're
we'll
40,000 people a night.
40,000 people a night. We'll support it. We'll get behind a Grey Cup, yada, yada, yada. But there was a real large faction of Baltimore sports fans that, I'll tell you what, even when Art Modell did come here, and they're my father's generation. My father's now 80 years old, you know, grew up with the old Colts. He didn't want football back here. He certainly didn't want them the way they came here with Art Modell leaving Cleveland, an established NFL city, for Baltimore, because it's exactly what happened, 10 years before.
Amazing stories as we relive history tonight on Sportsline. Millsy, thank you so much for sharing tonight.
You got it, buddy.
That's Keith Mills. We'll come back with more next year on BAL.